Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, upgrading windows to help curb appeal and keep homes efficient. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, May 28th. I'm Ala Kuziz. Artificial intelligence, or AI, is already in classrooms in states across the country, including Illinois, and teachers are trying to navigate the challenges that AI presents.
If you have the machine do the thinking for you, then you're not growing as a person, and therein lies the problem.
We'll learn more about those challenges and a new AI bill that Illinois lawmakers are considering. That's coming up on The Gateway. Abortions in Missouri have been halted again. The Missouri Supreme Court has reversed two rulings that allowed the procedure to resume in the state. A Kansas City judge put Missouri's abortion ban and some restrictions on hold after voters last year passed Amendment 3, which placed the right to abortion in the state constitution. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports.
Judge Jerry Jung said the state's restrictive abortion laws did not comply with the newly passed amendment and placed them on hold. A trial that could overturn them permanently is slated for January. In the meantime, the state's Supreme Court has ordered Jung to vacate her previous rulings because she did not meet the correct legal standard in issuing those orders. Mallory Schwartz heads up Abortion Action Missouri, which supports abortion rights. She says politicians have been using every tool they can to undermine Amendment 3.
This will cause more confusion among patients, and that was the whole point. And these politicians don't care about the people of our state who are just trying to access basic health care.
Jung could reissue the ruling with different reasoning. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri lawmakers will be returning to Jefferson City on Monday for a special session focused on a trio of issues. Governor Mike Kehoe announced yesterday the legislature will meet to address storm relief, a plan to keep the Kansas City Chiefs and Royals in Missouri, and to reconsider some projects that failed to get funding in the past session.
I've spoken with leadership on both chambers and on both sides of the aisle, and I'm optimistic that we can work together to make this time count and use the rare opportunity to benefit the future of our state.
Kehoe wants to pass legislation that would aid in storm recovery. That includes establishing an income tax deduction for insurance policy deductibles incurred by homeowners and renters due to severe weather damage. The deductions would be limited to $5,000 per household per disaster in any calendar year. Patricia Pendleton's family and friends said goodbye yesterday after the 74-year-old died in the May 16th tornado. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley has more from the funeral service in Jennings.
Patricia Pendleton served as a deacon, usher, worship leader, and choir member at Centennial Christian Church in Fountain Park for nearly 40 years. And she was at the church working to help unhoused individuals when the tornado hit on May 16th. Her husband, Harry Pendleton III, spoke during her funeral service at the Austin A. Lane Renaissance Chapel. The place was packed with nearly 100 people.
It hits your heart. How you see how many people that our family didn't know about, I didn't know about. And I know my wife left here in a place that she loved being at, but she took the church with her.
Pendleton is remembered for her spunky personality and dedication to feeding people in the community. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Ameren is pausing power disconnections in the wake of the St. Louis tornado. The electric utility announced yesterday that it will not cut off service for customers who are behind on their bills in areas the tornado hit. The pause will last for 60 days through July. Ameren also announced it's increasing other aid programs for customers affected by the storm. In April, more than 200,000 Ameren customers were behind on their bills, according to the Energy and Policy Institute. Around 3,000 trees were damaged or toppled in Forest Park when a tornado ripped through St. Louis earlier this month. Dominic Jensky is a spokesperson for Forest Park Forever. That's the nonprofit that maintains the park.
It felt like every corner you turn, there's a familiar large tree or a vista or just something that our teams worked on really hard. And just to see it upturned in a flash was just so jarring.
Jensky says replanting will have to be done in a way that balances current visitor needs and those that will come decades later. Some major hazards have been cleared, but Jensky cautions visitors to beware of unstable hanging branches and blocked paths. St. Louis City SC has fired head coach Olaf Milberg. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan Nall reports he lasted less than half a season at the helm of the soccer team.
Milberg was hired in November after a search team leaders said included an analysis of a database of more than 25,000 soccer coaches around the world. But Milberg led the team to only 2 wins in the first 15 MLS games of the season and hadn't won in the last 11 matches. Justin Graham is the co-host of Ball Watching, a City SC fan podcast. He says Milberg wasn't able to adjust to his system not working.
The fact that there was no changes in that, and he's just stuck in his ways and like, we're gonna make this system work for us when it obviously wasn't, especially with those injuries. That's why I think we're here.
City 2 head coach David Critchley will be the interim manager while the team searches for a permanent replacement. I'm Jonathan Aul, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois lawmakers are considering a bill that would create an advisory board to give schools guidance on how to use artificial intelligence, or AI. Peter Medlin reports on how teachers in one Illinois city are already using AI in the classroom.
I am here to share my experiences and answer your questions about my work as a conductor on the Underground Railroad, my life, and the fight for freedom. What would you like to know?
That's a custom AI chatbot that answers student questions as if it's abolitionist Harriet Tubman. It's built using Magic School, one of the most popular AI platforms designed for schools. Last year, Rockford Public Schools paid over $200,000 for several years of Magic School's premium service. The district's educational technology coordinator, Susan Urim, says elementary schoolers are learning about the Underground Railroad with this chatbot.
It wasn't about fantasy. It was about being engaged in a conversation with somebody in a way that we couldn't have done without this technology.
So I asked the AI Harriet Tubman how they stayed safe while leading slaves to freedom.
When we needed to be quiet, I'd carry a bit of ginger root in my pocket to give to babies to keep them from crying.
One problem, there's no evidence to support that Tubman actually did that. It's an example of an AI hallucination. The chatbot also mentioned that she had a $40,000 bounty on her head, which is a common legend about Tubman that's also not accurate, but is a mistake a student might make. And as those examples show, this technology's not flawless. And that's before you consider AI's heavy environmental impact and the ethics of AI image generators scraping work from artists for training data. But AI is already in classrooms across Illinois, whether teachers like it or not. And it's one reason why State Representative Laura Favor-Diaz introduced a proposal establishing a State Instructional Technology Advisory Board. Favor-Diaz is a former teacher, and she says cell phones have been an issue in schools for years, and the state's just getting around to crafting policies, so it's crucial they don't wait that long with AI.
They're able to act nimbly and quickly to pull together experts, including classroom teachers in terms of practice. And then that first guidance will be issued July 1st, 2026.
At this point, she says the state really doesn't know how local schools use AI. In Rockford, Susan Urim says they started training teachers on AI a few years ago after students started using ChatGPT to write their essays. But they knew the tech wasn't going anywhere and teachers needed to understand it better.
How do you understand bias? How do you understand privacy and security? How do you understand the idea of hallucinations or quality of output? And then on top of that, be a good prompt engineer.
They went with Magic School because it's created specifically for the classroom. It has templates for teachers, and it allows them to monitor how their students are interacting with the AI. She says there are tons of ways Rockford teachers use Magic School, from those historical figure chatbots to building IEPs and lesson plans. Douglas MacArthur is an English teacher at Jefferson High School, and right now he says tools like Magic School are useful, but not quite revolutionary. He lets his kids use it for brainstorming topic ideas and cleaning up grammar, but not for original writing.
If you have the machine do the thinking for you, then you're not growing as a person, and therein lies the problem.
Brent Fritz is an engineering and math teacher at Roosevelt High School, and he used to spend weeks at home after school overhauling curriculum, days of copying and pasting into spreadsheets. He uses AI to increase his efficiency.
I did that again just recently, and it went from like 3 weeks, let's say, to about 6-7 hours.
Fritz says it also helps customize assignments. Got students who love Minecraft? Great, here are 4 Minecraft-themed word problems. He says that AI's integration in the classroom has really made him reflect on which parts of his job are essential and can only be done by a human, and what he's comfortable outsourcing to AI.
AI is not going to build relationships for you. But as an educator, like, that's the most powerful tool I have is the relationship I have with my students. If they don't trust you, they're not going to buy what you're selling.
Fritz says AI could revolutionize education. Who knows what these tools will look like in 10 years, but honestly, he just hopes it cuts out busy work to give him more time to pay attention to what matters most, building relationships with his students. I'm Peter Medlin.
This story comes to us from NPR station WNIJ. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Ala Kaziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.